On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll zero in on some jobs up for grabs on the Astros roster.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It worked great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Friday, March 5th. I'm Al Melker, and I am joined by Derek Van Riper and DVR. We have an episode here that unfortunately is well timed. We're going to talk about the Astros today, and we're doing this with the news of the Framber Valdez finger injury still pretty fresh. So, have you drafted him already in any leagues?
I have not. I've been in some drafts where people drafted him right before the injury, which I always feel terrible when that happens. And hopefully we'll get some optimism, some good news from our good friend Jake Kaplan. He covers the Astros for The Athletic, and he's as dialed into that situation as anybody.
Yep, absolutely. So we are very, very fortunate to have Jake here. So as you mentioned, DVR, we got Jake Kaplan, the Astros beat writer for The Athletic. So Jake, thanks so much for dropping in and talking some Astros with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Well, we'll get started right away, and we will certainly get to that Framber Valdez issue shortly. But I know a lot of people also are very curious about Miles Straw's status this spring, because there have been reports, yours among them, that he's slated to be the starting center fielder and possibly the leadoff hitter. So how's his campaign going for those two spots?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the Astros, on one hand, would like him to secure that spot and win it in spring training. But on the other hand, if you look at the roster, there's really no one else who could be a center fielder on a regular basis on their entire roster. So unless they're like willing to dip into like Jose Siri as a non-roster invitee, but I don't think that's their first option. So yeah, it's pretty much Straw or bust, unless there's a surprising move there that I'm not expecting. The question is, will he bat leadoff? I think there's a decent chance he will, based on Dusty Baker's, you know, if we look at how Dusty Baker operated last year and his preferences and tendencies. George Springer missed 11 games in the regular season last year. And in early in the year, it was a mixture of Jose Altuve and Kyle Tucker in the leadoff spot. But I think the last five or six games, and all of which were like down the stretch, it was Miles Straw. And he's already talked about he likes speed at the top. So, I think it could be Altuve. It could be someone else. But it looks like Miles Straw's got a pretty solid chance to be the leadoff hitter.
So, Jake, there's certainly a lot of interest in that Miles Straw situation. But Jose Altuve almost seems like a forgotten man in fantasy drafts, certainly compared to past years. Do you see any reasons for us to buy into an Altuve rebound?
Yeah, I'm pretty bullish on Jose Altuve rebound. I think last year was just a wacky year for a lot of reasons. And, I think when you look at the big sample size of his career, you can bet that, he's going to be closer to normal than he is going to be closer to 2020 regular season. And if you look at his 2020 postseason, that's a reason for optimism too, right? I think he hit five homers after hitting five all regular season. So I expect he will be a lot better. I don't know if he will have, the MVP type season or even the 2019 type season where he was quietly really, really good that year too, kind of just overshadowed by Bregman and Alvarez. But I think he's going to be one of their three or four best hitters. And I think, you could expect a fair amount of OPS from him too.
Let's talk about that Framber Valdez situation, because it's one that could be a major injury for this Houston rotation, depending on how much time he misses. What do we know at this point as far as a possible timetable for Valdez's absence?
Yeah, as we speak here on Thursday morning, the Astros have been very vague about a timetable. I think they're waiting for the swelling to go down to really do more tests on his finger and make sure what's going on there is what's going on. It doesn't sound good. And I think he might be out for a while. So definitely a huge blow for them. I mean, depth was a huge issue coming into spring training. And if you looked at their rotation, it was pretty set and it was pretty solid, 1-5. But really, Greinke is the only one who's ever pitched a full major league season. And they thought Valdez could be another guy who could do it based on how strong he is and how resilient his arm is. And so if you take away that 180 innings you could have projected there, possibly, obviously, there's still a chance he pitches some of those innings. But, you know, I think it's their depth is getting tested and they've only played a handful of Grapefruit League games.
Yeah, a couple of really young options may have to step up again. We did see a little bit of Luis Garcia last season, only 12 and a third innings, and he was making the leap from high A. So having skipped over double A and triple A entirely, he held his own in that limited time, and he's looked really good in the low minors. How would you say Garcia stacks up to Forrest Whitley, you know, a prospect we've been tracking for a long time, as maybe two candidates who could be battling to at least temporarily take that spot that Valdez is vacating?
Yeah, I think it's Garcia's job to lose. I would pencil him in as the, you know, unless they go out and sign someone or trade for someone, I would pencil in Garcia as the fifth starter. The Astros are really high on him, as we saw last year. I mean, they let him start an ALCS game, a winner-go-home game. Obviously, it was more of an opener situation, but still, like, you don't do that unless you think the guy has the stuff to get through some really good hitters. So, you know, similar to Christian Javier, I could see him as like a five-and-dive type starter. He's got the velocity. He's got the really special changeup. His slider kind of comes and goes, but I think it can be good enough. And he's also got a curveball and a cutter. So the control is the big question there. But, you know, they think he's a major league starter. You know, I think there's a good chance he's in the rotation to begin next season, if not this season. But I think unless they go out and sign someone, he's probably going to be in it this season too to start. As far as Whitley goes, I think he's kind of like the ultimate 2021 wild card. Like, what's the record for being on prospect list? How many years can you do it in a row? he's getting up there. You know, he's been supposed to be on the Astros since 2018, right? And it hasn't happened yet. I think there's some optimism that this could be the year it clicks, but what does that mean? You know, I think there's just so many questions between command, durability, and then say both those things align, how many innings does he have in him after barely throwing? I mean, he threw last year in 2020, but he didn't log any official innings, and his career high in innings is 92 from 2017 in low A, high A, and double A, so I just think there's a lot of reason to believe that Garcia is going to make the bigger impact than Whitley, but you might see Whitley as well. Given the Valdez injury, they're probably going to need Whitley at some point.
Yeah, I think even if they have to manage him carefully, he's a bigger part of their plan at this point, just by necessity. Zach Greinke didn't seem right physically during the postseason last year, and he's always tough to read this time of year because his spring training might be the most unusual of any veteran player out there. Where do things stand with Greinke as this season approaches?
He seemed like he was in pretty good spirits when he talked to the media a few days ago. I mean, it's hard to read because he doesn't show up to spring training until the very last moment that he has to. I think it's like the day before games start when you technically have to show up. So he hasn't pitched in a Grapefruit League game yet. I think you never really know what you're going to get. You know, he's 37. I mean, we kind of forget. We talk about how old Verlander is, but Greinke's right up there too. So, yeah, I don't know. He was not good down the stretch last season or in the postseason. He was still pretty good overall in the season. He was still, you know, a 1.11 ERA plus. So you could see it going either way. You could see him having like his usual 3-3 and 200 innings. Or you could, you know, one of these years the wheels are going to fall off, right? Like, I don't know. I think there's some risk there. But they're definitely going to need him to pitch a lot of innings given, like I said earlier, he's the only one in the rotation who's ever done it for a full major league season wire to wire.
Yeah, if they don't have him out there every fifth day, things could really start to unravel on this rotation. Saves have been a major area of concern for fantasy managers this draft season, Jake. Are the Astros one of those teams that will actually lean on one closer, and is Ryan Pressly going to be that guy?
I think so, yeah. Dusty Baker, more of an old school manager, and Presley's the clear front runner there. I know there's a lot of optimism that he's going to be better this year. Not that he was awful in 2020, but you know, his mechanics were not right. You know, whether that's a product of his 2019 midseason knee surgery and some bad habits there, or just the wacky buildup to 2020, or both. You know, he seemed like he was in a really good place when the media spoke to him a couple weeks ago at the start of camp. I've heard some good things that his TrackMan data and all that is looking spot on with his pitches. So I think there's, you know, the further he gets removed from the knee issue in 2019, there's some room for growth there. And I don't know if he'll ever be as dominant as he was in the first half of 2019, but I think there is a good chance that he is a legitimate MLB closer who racks up a fair amount of saves this year. You know, it's just a matter of his mechanics, his delivery being in sync, because if they are, like, he's got the fastball and he's got the two breaking pitches. So, like, what more do you need if he's right?
Well, just to go back to some of the younger players, I mean, you've already mentioned Forrest Whitley and Luis Garcia and the roles that they could very well play in 2021. Are there any prospects that maybe people aren't as tuned into that we should be keeping an eye on for this season?
I think Chaz McCormick is a little underrated. He's on their 40-man roster as an outfielder, and outfield is an obvious area of need for them. I, you know, in my latest roster projections, I have him making the team over Steven Souza, because McCormick's on the roster and Souza is not. You know, I could end up being wrong there. Maybe Souza looks good enough to warrant making it, but they really like McCormick. He can play all three outfield spots. He's better suited for a corner. He crushed lefties in AAA in 2019. So you could easily see a scenario where, you know, Brantley, they target a day off for Brantley or Tucker against the lefty, and McCormick plays one of the corners. You know, I don't know how much fantasy relevance he'll have, but I think overall among their prospects, especially in the position player side where they lack prospects, he has a chance to have a bigger role than I think a lot of people realize.
All right. Well, that's good stuff, Jake. Really appreciate it. And that's going to be all for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you're enjoying this podcast on a platform that allows you to leave a rating and a review, we always do appreciate it when you take the time to do that. And we also appreciate it when you fill out our listener survey. You just need to click on the link that's posted in the show notes. So, Jake Kaplan, thanks again for coming by and helping us out with our Astros questions.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, our pleasure. So for Jake Kaplan and for Derek Van Riper, I'm Al Melker, and we'll be right back here on Monday.